down home.
Hi guys, welcome back to Having a Ball podcast. I'm your host Erica.
And I'm your co-host Siva.
And today we are going to talk about the Adagio episode. Adagio, right? Adagio. Mm-hmm. The Adagio episode. It was the 12th episode of the first season of I Love Lucy and the 13th overall series episode. This one aired December 31st, which I found odd that they aired this on New Year's Eve. I don't know why. 1951 on CBS, directed by Mark Daniels, co-written by Bob Carroll Jr., Madeline Davis, and Jess Oppenheimer. Now, the synopsis for the Adagio is that there's an opening for an Apache dancer at the Tropicana. So naturally, Lucy wants a job. And to teach her the routine, Ethel insists the help of Frenchman Jean Valjean Ramon.
Who has want to say it just like Jean Valjean Ramon.
All four of them? More of that later. Who has more than just dancing on his mind. Dun, dun, dun. Sorry. So
you need to insert that. Dun, 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 dun. Dun. Okay. Yeah. This episode is based off of, guess, can you guess? Oh, my favorite husband. Mm-hmm. Episode 66. We're still in, I think they did many, I mean, I think it was the first two seasons.
For of sure, like
the
remakes?
First season.
Yeah.
Where there's a lot of overlap. This one is the French lesson and, wait.
Yeah, the French lesson.
The French lesson is the number 66. It's what this one was based off of.
Yeah, it also inspired the French Review. Mm. I guess they're both based off of this episode.
So, okay. Do you know the history of the Apache dance?
Not before looking this up earlier today.
I knew it all along. Oh, I did want to say before we get to that, I have always thought that this episode was called the Apache.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It just seems like that would go better because that's the name of the show.
Right.
But, you know, I think there's the idea, because even, you know, Lucy does the Native American
dance at first.
You were a little aghast again, the last time I did it. So I won't do that.
You won't do,
you know, even though,
yeah, you're right,
very few people I have the right, but I really do like when she goes wee wee wee. She's like, oh, French Indian. Oui, okay. Yeah.
So cheesy. Oh my god. Well, see, and it's like you said, the Apache dance is what they want to do. Apache. I think the Apache is the way the Frenchman says it, but the Adagio is a dance that just means male and female duet that features lifts and spins. So I don't know,
it
why
it could be like any dance.
Yeah, it could be any
normal dance.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Apache is super dramatic.
Very violent.
Kind of violent. Yeah. Like she's being extra dramatic when she's, or, you know, pretending to dance.
Mm-hmm.
I love it's just the one-sided dance. I love that. But yeah. but it is a very violent dance, and it was associated with Parisian street culture
from Paris
about 19 mm-hmm. yeah, from around 1900. Parents, if children are listening, put on the earmuffs.
The following is only for mature audiences.
There you go. It's sometimes said to reenact the encounter between a pimp and a prostitute.
So bizarre.
Mm-hmm. So there's, you know, like mock slaps and punches, man picking up and throwing the woman to the ground. I mean, it is a very violent dance, and it's very suggestive. And so, and what I find interesting that is that in Lucy's autobiography, Love Lucy,
mm-hmm.
she talks about how she did this dance
mm-hmm.
when she was 12 and dislocated her shoulder.
I have many questions, of course, about what a 12-year-old is doing this dance for.
I was like, why this dance? Mm-hmm. Like, she could have done so many other dances. Why are they having a 12-year-old knowing the history of the dance?
Now, I know it's supposed to be interpretive dance. At least I hope it was interpretive dance, because the way that you described it is almost comical to think that it's still called a dance. To me, that sounds like an assault on stage. But
yeah,
mock slaps and punches.
Theater, you know,
not know what to do.
Assault. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And I don't know who, I mean, I'm being a little bit serious here. Mm-hmm. I don't know who thought, you know what, this would be a good thing to make a dance after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, look, I'm seeing a pimp throw a prostitute to the ground. Let's make this a dance. Like, I don't know. That just seems wrong.
And perhaps when it's probably a sign of the terrible times, it's not the prostitute is getting away from him and, escaping and surviving. It's always degrading to the woman, I suppose, in those types of dances back then. So it's very odd that Ricky would want to do this at his club as a performance.
And maybe we should, have you ever watched like a professional do this dance?
A pachi dance? No, I haven't.
Yeah, I haven't. I feel like I should have.
Yeah, we totally should
have. Maybe I should just like Google it real quick while you continue talking.
Sounds a little violent. It's all bloody at the end.
Maybe it's a mock assault.
Oh, mock. I'm sorry.
An actual assault.
You're right.
Okay, so all of that aside, let's get into the nitty gritty, the actual episode. Yep. It opens with everyone sitting around. I'm sorry. I know this is, I'm just like already going a little bit. It's not a little, it's not off track, but I want people, like a couple, to come over and eat dinner with us. like I have my family and but I'm just talking like, and maybe it's all the COVID because I have friends around here that like could, but it's just not something, I don't know.
They seem to do it often, still, just walking into the homes.
Yeah, I know people still come over, but dinner doesn't seem to be like an at-home dinner, and then like card games or
a movie
after doesn't seem as normal.
What I wonder is, this is apartment living that they're doing.
True.
And so when you live in apartment buildings or just complexes like that, I wonder if friendships and more, camaraderie is much, much more present when you're that close as opposed to houses where you're so separated.
I used to live across the hallway from one of my very close friends and I would just like walk over there and we would like play video games or we'd chat or like something. And now obviously we can't do that. And so we're still friends, but we often say we just miss being able to, walk across the hallway. Cause there's something so easy about, going, I'm having a rough day
and just showing
up, walk across the hallway,
you're right.
But instead of me going, I'm having a rough day, let me drive an hour and a half to get to their house. And then think about how I'm going to get back,
but call first and text me when you're outside. Don't just show up.
Don't just show up. No one wants that.
Yeah. So
I have a husband.
And I think that's why this show was so endearing, because of their friendships. They just walked into their apartments, no knocking, no anything. And when someone locked it, they found it very unusual. Like, whoa, what's going on? Like,
what's going on?
Yeah.
So all right. Anyways, so they're eating. Well, no. Only Ethel's eating.
Yeah.
Is that cake? It's cake. I think it looks like she's eating cake. It's the third piece. I believe she said that. Three is her, because Lucy's like, I think I have 7 or 8 more in the kitchen.
Yeah.
So I was like, 3 is my limit.
Oh my God. Yeah.
They're trying to make her, make her out to be.
I feel like those
have
jokes.
The audience understand that she's very hungry and likes to eat a lot.
I think those jokes are very much around like maybe the first, second seasons, but I think they taper off.
They taper off a bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I think you see it still, like when Lucy's pretending to go on a starvation diet, remembered that
for the purse or the dress.
And Ethel, sits down to eat, and Ricky takes the whole thing away. Like, you can see how just devastated she is. So it's still there, but they don't seem to feel the need to.
Yeah, really drive the point home.
Drive it she home eats as a lot. Much.
Yeah.
But so they chit chat about that, and then they go put on a new face.
You see, that is such a 1950s term or phrase to say, because I don't think I've ever used it, nor have I ever heard it in you know, modern day. That's most definitely a, you know, a 1950s television thing, I think. But yeah, it's just, now here's the thing. In I Love Lucy, there's a lot of touching up of the makeup. There's a lot of going to the next room because your nose is shining, putting on a new face. I've never excused myself to go fix yourself up again. I mean,
again,
you know, maybe you do, you know, if, I wear makeup, I go to the restroom, see how, you know, nothing's running. Okay, we're good. But I'm not going to announce it. Like, y'all, I'll be
and
right
And then
back.
Make someone else come with you. Okay, yes. Let's go. Powder our nose.
Yeah. And so they mention Orbox. I think.
Oh, Ethel. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, did you see the little polka dot dress?
At Orbox. It's a moderately priced department store chain supplied clothing for the series, except for Lucille's dresses, who that they were always designed by Eloise Jensen. Although their name was infrequently used on Lucy, Macy's got more mentions. They did, now that I noticed that, they did mention Macy's quite a bit. Lucy Ricardo shopped there when the characters appeared on Make Room for Daddy, another Disney Lucy series in 1959.
I do want to say that you can still buy like dresses and stuff.
From Orbox?
From them. Yeah. Or Orbox dresses. So, okay. I mean, they're vintage.
Yeah.
They're quite pricey, but you can find them on places like Etsy and eBay.
Oh, nice.
If you want to, just a quick search. But, I mean, they're really cool pieces, you know.
Do they look like the type of dresses that Lucy wears on the show?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice. I love that.
There were some I was like, if I was a size 2 or 3.
I think our friend Carrie of the probably would
maybe
wear
she
an
has
dress.
Some.
Yeah, she probably.
You
does.
Should ask her if she has some. But yeah, so you can still buy them. And then this is just something random, but you can see that Lucy's hairstyle's teeny bit different.
It is. It's much more fuller. And it's so confusing to me sometimes when you're watching the series because she goes from this small tight curls to the updo to the
I mean it's just the 12th episode, so they're still working on her image.
Yeah
And I think they're trying to play around like how do audiences kind of react to that, but
I think it made her look
must
older.
Not have reacted
did you
I think that the one that she had made her look younger when the one they
stuck with later.
Stuck with, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, my words are like not coming to me today.
It's okay, but we got a co-host.
Exactly, there you go. Just find my words for me. Go. So, okay, so they come out. And I just want to part where the guys are talking about how they want them to put on a new face and come out.
Fred's got fingers crossed. I mean, the insults start from jump. I mean, and yeah. So he's...
Not... And then not wearing
no thin clothes,
no thin clothes,
there naked, wearing no naked. Thin clothes. That's so of course he's got his fingers crossed when the girls leave the room. Ricky's like, well, what's with the crossing fingers? He's saying, because every time Ethel leaves, she says he's gonna put on a new face and she always comes back with the old one. And so yeah, Ricky's just like, nope, it's still the same two faces. But yeah,
I and then, of course, you know, the girls come out, they say, ah, it's the same old. And Lucy goes, you know, whatever it is, we're not old, young enough.
We're not, whatever it is that they're talking about, ours isn't young enough.
Ours isn't young enough. But when she asks if the Ethel ever wonders or wishes there was something else they could marry besides men, I was like, is that a risque question for the time? Or is that just...
Actually,
maybe there's an alien or like a third race that isn't discovered that maybe they could marry.
I think we're listening to it with 2021 ears. I don't think, while I do think that there are some risque, you know, messages and jokes here and there.
Yeah,
it's just kind of like, I wish I could marry a house plant more than, you know, a man
an alien.
Yeah. So I think,
I like mine, like a third unknown
species,
like hasn't been discovered yet. Yeah, that you can marry.
Wow. We'll dissect that one later.
No. You don't need to go into the analyzing so me.
They he gets a call. Ricky does gets a call from Jerry, his agent, which we don't hear. We just hear his side of the conversation, because at that point, Jerry was already gone, the one who played Jerry, because in real life, they had a dispute over a phone. So Jerry was
it
Jerry
over
Hausner.
The phone, or was it over a phone?
Well, from what I can gather, it was a disagreement over a telephone scene. Now, does that mean that his voice was not heard and he wanted it to be heard, and it kind of blew up from there? I'm not sure.
Maybe, because I was like, I wasn't sure. I saw that as well, and I was like, what is it? Did they have they were arguing over the phone, or
yeah.
No.
So that's,
but yes, you don't hear anything.
Yeah. That he needs a new, someone for the act, for the apology.
And of course, yes. And of course, Lucy's at this point.
Yeah.
That's when she starts acting crazy. And I love
the scene.
I love the scene she makes. And I really actually like when Ricky's like, what do you mean? What's going on? My wife's acting great. Lucy's acting crazy. That's what's going on.
Angrier and angrier and yelling at him like it's his fault. I told you to hold on. Yeah, because she's playing out the whole, like you said, Apache dance. Well, she's not understanding what it is exactly. So she thinks it's like a Native American dance, and she's like going, wee, wee, you know.
But then she starts doing like the violent stuff. And
because Ethel explains what it is. Yeah. Yeah. Ricky, can I be in your show?
And then she says, no.
And then they start yelling. He starts yelling at Jerry on the phone. Oh my gosh.
Oh,
the
man.
Whole thing. So she, of course, says that he's going to, or she, Lucy, says that she wants to be in the show. And that if she just can get someone to teach her how to do the Apache dance, that, you know, he couldn't resist and put her on the show. And I like how Fred keeps coming in and saying it'd be a wonderful opportunity
for
someone.
You know, he's hinting at himself.
Yeah, yeah.
And that opens up the joke where Lucy says, you know, I wonder what Fred Astaire's doing these days. And actually, at the time, he was quite busy.
Yeah.
Fred Astaire. Mm-hmm. Yes, Fred Astaire. He had just starred in Royal Wedding. And then in about 6 weeks after that, the Battle of New York, which is an MGM Technicolor musical, came out.
And they actually were in movies
later. So
our movies together.
They were. Was the last being the Ziegfeld Follies?
The Ziegfeld Follies, yeah.
Ziegfeld.
Yes.
In 1945. So they did work together, and I'm sure they knew that he was super busy, but it was like just a perfect zinger and little stab at Fred not say, because you could tell. I mean, if they were even paying attention to him at all, they'd know that he was over there hinting. And I mean, I love how the next scene basically, you know, is Ethel. Yes, Ethel coming in and saying,
Use Fred,
basically, yeah. And she only says this because she wants a hat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she kind of hypes him up to be a dance partner. But and I guess he comes in and tries to explain to her what the Apache dance is, which is what you described earlier, which is a very violent between man and woman dance where, you know, he hurls her to the floor, which doesn't work because Fred.
I love that. She's like this and hurls her to the floor.
And it's not working. And so they trying to, what's funny is when they're supposed to meet eye to eye, you see how much taller Lucille Ball is.
She has to like bend and he has to come up a little bit. Yeah.
And so they're supposed to see eye to eye and kind of walk in the same direction and, you know, very aggressively or very exaggerated. And then and then she stomps on his
stomps on his foot.
Oh,
and then even when he sits out, he's like, you do it yourself.
Right.
She still ends up stomping on his foot.
Yeah, he left very injured that day.
So it was the feet, and then she throws him to the ground, and at mm-hmm. that point he's like, you know what, I'm done, I can't do this. And Ethel comes in, and that's when she says, you know what, I might lose a hat for this. But what was it? Her laundry?
Yeah, the cousin the, of the
cousin
person.
Of a friend laundry. Mm-hmm. And that's when she goes, you know, Jean Valjean Raymond.
Ramon. Yeah.
And actually, the name Jean Valjean is from Les Mis. Les Miserables.
Les Mis. Yeah. Mm, yes.
Me too. Mm-hmm. We'll just do a random review on that. No.
Les Mis, we'll just throw it in there. Just
throw it in there. Yeah. So I always think of that when I hear that. Mm-hmm. But she suggests him, and you know, Lucy's like, yes, let's do it.
Then he comes over.
Oh, wait, I did want to ask you your opinion before we get to him.
Yeah.
Do you think Ethel got her hat?
No. Well, you see, no, and here's the thing. Here's the thing. Not because she reneged on the deal, not because she said the opposite, but because it's Fred.
Fair enough. And Fred will be like, I got hurt.
Yeah.
And you,
medical expenses.
It doesn't. Yeah. Medical expenses. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't think
the
he got her
hurt. Salts for his foot bath. Okay.
I don't think so. I think
probably not. She probably didn't. You're right.
So
okay.
Then
so
Jean Valjean. Ramon comes in and introduces himself, and he's played by Shepard Menken. And his career actually started at the age of 11 when he started appearing on children's radio programs. And after high school, he attended the Columbia University and later studied arts at the Neighborhood Playhouse Theater and then the Juilliard School of Music. Oh, nothing.
Ooh.
I mean, wow, that's an extensive and very impressive resume. And this is one of four appearances he makes on the I Love Lucy show. He was also the store owner in Lucy Becomes a Sculptress. Yeah, they're kind of
like that one,
messing with her that she's just talented artist, but really it's just to make a sale. Like,
put this in my collection. Yeah,
yeah. Just throws it away.
Back in the
He's the eye doctor, and Lucy has her eye examined. I love that scene because she makes a joke and then laughs at it herself about. The doctor says, can you see the numbers on the wall? And the patient says, what wall? And she laughs and nobody else does. I love that. And then he's the counterfeiting artist in Paris at Last, the one who's pretending to paint just to sell, that he would cut off his right arm before.
Yeah. And they all end up having the same paintings at the end. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's the he walks in very passionate without even knowing this woman's name. He's already in love with her and very aggressively French amorous friend.
Oh madame, you have such a beautiful hand. And I love when Lucy's like, oh well, I have another one just
I don't
like
just
it.
Like it. And so they want he explains that the reason he's like that is because American women want French men to be amorous. I didn't know that. I was not aware that there's an expectation.
Like, really? Mm-hmm. If a Frenchman comes into my house and he starts acting like that, he's getting thrown out of the house.
If a random Frenchman walks into my house. Now, how would you know he's French? He's got like the striped shirt and the beret.
His name is Jean Valjean Raymond.
He's holding a baguette.
Yes, a baguette. A crepe in one hand.
Crepe Suzette, which we'll come back
to. Yes, we'll talk about in a second.
Yeah. And so he's, wanting to teach her to dance. He's shocked that that's really all she wants, because maybe, she thought maybe he wanted to start an affair with someone she doesn't even know. And so she panics when Ethel comes in and says, Rookie's home, and so he thinks she's trying to hide him because, of course, again, affair, so,
but she's just trying to hide him because she doesn't want Ricky to know she's practicing.
Yeah.
To try out.
Yeah. So he's getting much more motivated and says, now I know how you really feel about me. Again, this is less than two minutes.
Gonna go get a glass of milk. Go get a whole pitcher. How thirsty he is, man.
He's got a cow in the backyard.
See, it works. He's thirsty. Oh, it all works. It all comes together.
Yeah.
Anyways. Oh, so yeah. So then he does leave, right?
He ends up leaving.
Mm-hmm. Is that before? When does Ethel call him a crepe Suzette?
Oh, that's not till the end.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
to be fair. I only watched the first half of this.
Oh, good.
I've watched this episode many times.
It's ingrained in your mind.
Yeah, I was going to say, I just, that part there.
So later on, well, and what's funny is when he's like, why are you so jittery? Why are you so jumpy? Right. And she's like, oh, because that, you know, first of all, what are you doing here? Well, because I live here, you know, no, but why are you here so early? Cause she expected him to be at rehearsal all afternoon. And so, she says, I'm just so excited because you're here in the afternoon.
Yeah. He's like, maybe I should come home more often.
And she goes, ah! No. And then the scene where he thinks it might rain, it might get cold, and they're throwing the coat and the umbrella from the closet. Oh, yeah, he's
throwing the umbrella. Yeah.
Maybe not.
Really funny.
Yeah, yeah. So that's when she finally throws him out, is when Ricky finally leaves back to rehearsal, and she's like, no, I'm not having any of this. That was a little too intense, but he was smitten.
But I will come back.
And I will make, I will, what do you say?
Come back for you.
Be more romantic in your big, beautiful blue eyes.
Blue eyes.
And she goes, she does the spider.
I love that.
So the next scene is them in their bedroom.
And they're chit-chatting. Mm-hmm. I think so I really like this scene just because you see them kind of, you get just a teeny, and I know that they were acting. It was just a show, mm-hmm. but I feel like you get a teeny little bit of what they're
a glimpse into their real life.
Talk like they're just talking. Mm-hmm. They're getting ready for bed and they're just chit chatting. Like I like that because there's no until Jean Valjean comes back, there's no crazy antics or anything. They're just talking.
Yeah, they're
and
just
I like
out.
That. Mm-hmm. So and it's interesting that they're talking about living in the country,
right?
It's because
scene,
I know. Yeah, because season 6, they do go to the country, mm-hmm. but so, that's a big move. In 10 years, we'll talk about that.
maybe. We're taking our time, people. We're taking our time. And so they do talk about that, but they discuss whether Westchester or New Jersey, you know, but. Then when he goes into, I think it's either the next room or the bathroom or something, is when he shows up, you know, in the window. Jean Valjean does.
Raymond. He comes in and I love this where, you know, she's like, oh, leave. And he doesn't. And so she ends up closing the window on him.
The blind.
And like,
oh, yeah,
putting
the
her hands.
Yeah.
Yeah. She and then she puts her hands on top of his.
Like they're his.
Oh yeah, okay. She pulls hers in, right? Mm-hmm. And then puts and how did Ricky not notice that she had like man hands all of a sudden?
That she's randomly sitting on the windowsill for no reason.
And of course she can't light her own cigarette.
Yeah, because then her hand would move.
Yeah. So then Ricky gets his line where he's like, look at me, I'm making like Paul Henreid.
Mm-hmm.
Which is it's a reference to one of the most imitated scenes in motion pictures from now Voyager, where he lights two cigarettes. He has two cigarettes in his mouth at once. It stars Henreid and Betty Davis. So.
Yeah, that's what he was referring to when he had both cigarettes in his,
mouth. Yeah, and then he gives. And they're talking about fresh air in the country.
And she's choking.
She's like puffing away because she can't take the cigarette out of her mouth.
The city noise and the city problems, and she's like, and the smoke,
fresh air. Yeah, the smoke.
Terrible.
Oh boy.
Yeah, that's too good. And so, of course, when she's and you could hear the birds chirp, tweet, 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 tweet.
She sounds so sadly pathetic when she says tweet, 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 tweet.
So then, of course, you know, she he starts to slip, so he yells, and that's when everything kind of, you know, gets destroyed, and he helps him up, and Lucy's like appalled, who is this, you know, and he tells him that he's there to elope with Lucy.
Yeah,
I mean, he met her that afternoon and they're ready to elope,
apparently,
you know, so those must be some pretty blue eyes, you know. And so she said, what do you mean elope? Don't say anything before her stupid husband gets here. What are you talking about? He's my stupid husband.
And so then they challenge each other to a duel. And he challenges them to a duel with pistols.
And so I love that he slaps him with the glove.
Yes. And then Ricky takes the glove and slaps him back.
Slaps him back.
Which is, it actually is, was one way to start a duel back in the day.
So interesting.
Did you know there were a lot of rules for duels?
Didn't know that.
A lot of rules for duels.
Rules for duels.
Rules for duels. No. I didn't do like a deep dive on that, but maybe I can post something about it when we're like preparing for this episode. But there were a lot, you know, amount of paces, the type of weapon you could use, mm-hmm. having a second there, like, but anyways, I digress. Jean says tomorrow at dawn behind Radio
City Music Hall.
City Music Hall.
Yeah.
Did you have something you wanted and then, to say about
no,
that?
He just, I just love the part where he says, I'll hit you over the head with a conga drum, you bum.
You bum.
He's trying to figure conga out drum. What conga drum, you bum. And he just says, it's a big, and you, it'll hurt
it
you.
It'll hurt you.
So he tells her to leave the room because, you know, these men are about to duel. And I love that Rick is just on board with it. No discussion.
Okay.
We're just going to shoot each other and see who's the, you know, last man standing.
At least he's got to keep that up in front of Lucy, right?
Because yeah, that's true.
As soon as Lucy leaves, he's like, no.
Yeah.
Before we get to the fake, not real duel, mm-hmm. I want to I haven't done a little deep dive on anything this episode. So we're going to do a little one on Radio City Music Hall.
Mm-hmm.
It was where Lucy and Desi's film The Long Long Trailer premiered in 1954.
Yes.
And they also thought that Forever Darling was going to premiere there, but it didn't. So Radio City Music Hall was completed in 1932. It was part of a larger development of Rockefeller Center. It was designed by architect Edward Durrell Stone, an interior designer Donald Deskey in the art decal style with Samuel Lyon Rothfell
mm-hmm.
or Roxy. There was public areas, you know, music hall features, murals, sculptures, other works. It just seems like it would be really cool. I mean, you can still go there because it's still open, right? So I don't know if it's still as cool as it was back then.
I'm sure it opened, it was.
December 27th, 1932. It was super lavish and it continued. But in the 1970s, it actually started to not be super financially successful. And they talked about how they'd have to shut it down. It was, mm-hmm. I mean, demolition. Like they were going to make it into office space buildings. And in response, people were like, no. Lieutenant Governor Marion Krupsek proclaimed that she was going to preserve the building. And that's when they started the rescue committee. And so they did, obviously, they did end up saving it and it didn't have to be demolished. But just imagine just
the history
having it be office buildings.
Just like, yeah,
this right. is where Radio City Music Hall was.
Used
and
to
now,
be. Yeah.
Now people so work, you know, 9 to 5 there.
Yeah.
So we're back to the fakey duel because as soon as Lucy walks out, Jean Valjean is like, put that gun away or something and like hides. And,
I thought we were going to duel. God, I hope not. Is this thing loaded? Absolutely. Oh my God. He's never used it. He just has a bad temper and he goes around challenging people to duels. Perhaps everybody before Ricky just said no and you know.
They got scared
also, and he's the only one who took him up on the offer.
Oh yeah, because Jean Valjean says that, you know, he was told that American men won't say yes to a duel. And
yes.
And Ricky's like, mm-hmm. Oh, I must have tricked you with my
Brooklyn accent. Which was hilarious because the way he said my Brooklyn accent was the most Cuban accented way he could have said it.
That's what made it so funny.
Right. He's like, I must have fooled you with my Brooklyn accent. What? That was a great line though. That was perfect.
Yeah.
And he's like, so what are you doing here with my wife? Was that another boo-boo? And so
a boo-boo.
He says, supersized because he has a wife and 5 children of his own. well, what are you doing?
What? Exactly. Like, so if even if American women expect that from Frenchmen, you are a married Frenchman.
So if she had taken him up on the offer,
you're done.
What's the next step, Jean Valjean, oh, Raymond?
That would have been fun to see, like, the an episode up. Where she's like, mm-hmm. yeah, like the alternate reality where she's like, okay, let's go,
and he's like, but first,
oh no,
divorce.
Yeah, first let me
or talk polygamy, to my family. Whatever.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, so that was funny. He's like, what? And he's like, no, I'm only here to teach your wife how to dance because she wants to be part of your show. And he's like, oh, okay. So now she's doing that. So, like
they're gonna teach her a lesson.
Yeah, they can't just let it lie. Like, just let any it go.
Sane person.
Just go decided. Back and say, you know, no, you're not gonna be in the show. Why'd you do this? And move on and have dinner. No, he's got to get back at her. So they. You know, want to teach her a lesson, like you said. And then when she's outside in the living room, she's panicking, freaking out because she's thinking that someone's about to get killed inside that bedroom, which is kind of morbid if you think about
it. And then they shoot into the ceiling.
I was going to say,
it's an apartment building. Are they on the top upstairs. Floor?
Because no, they're not. Because if you remember, later on, you know, in the series, there's people upstairs and you've got the, you know, he's hitting the broom with the, so there's people living upstairs and they're just shooting.
They shoot up. Like, that's not safe.
And not just once, over and over.
Yeah.
Which is ironic because if it's a duel, there's only going to be one shot.
Well, two at the most.
You're right.
One each. Boom. And then someone dies.
Unless it's overkill by the winner. Shot. Right.
You're dead.
So he comes out, you know, with and at that time, at that point,
the pistol,
Ethel and Fred are already there, kind of consoling her about what's about to happen in the bedroom. So he comes out and obviously that tells you that Ricky's dead.
Yeah. And he's like, in the bedroom. You don't want to go back there.
Just a bloodbath in the bedroom. And so that's when Ethel calls him a crepe Suzette.
Oh, I love a good crepe.
And he just sticks his tongue out at her. God. So bad.
Crepes are so good.
Yeah, they are.
Do you like crepes?
I do. Yes. Mm.
Savory or sweet?
Oh, sweet.
Or both?
No, sweet. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I like mine. I like mine savory, like a chicken pesto.
Oh.
Okay. Or like a honey mustard chicken.
I like mine with like a dessert. Yeah.
That's fair. Mm-hmm. I'm weird about sweets. Like, if it's too sweet, I don't like it. So... Mm-hmm. As long as, I really like a simple, lots of veggies and like a little bit of Nutella in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good. But anyways,
we digress.
Talking about crepes and she makes some this weekend.
She calls him that, a crepe Suzette.
Yes. And so of course, then Lucy's like, if only I had a chance to do it all over again. I just would have been happy, which
Ricky Ricardo.
It's so funny because in the next episode, she's right back at not being happy being Mrs. Ricardo.
We wouldn't have a series, would we?
It would be done, right?
Yeah.
The end, she becomes the perfect housewife.
Yeah.
So then of course, Ricky's like, whoa, you have another chance, like whatever, or something, right?
That's so
what does
silly.
He say when he comes out?
He says, all right, I'll give you one more chance.
Yeah. Oh, and so they make up whatever. But this is the one where she pours water over him, right?
Yeah, the next scene. Later, because she thinks about it later. Yeah.
But like, if you think about it, it's an awful joke.
Yeah, it is. It's terrible.
To play on someone.
You're making them believe that you were just murdered. It was just murdered in the next room. And you're about to walk into a bloodbath and... Your heart must have dropped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he deserved more than getting water poured on him.
And so
I would have thrown the whole vase at him, the whole pitcher.
Yeah, so he says, you know, I just wanted to teach you a lesson. What? Yeah. Excuse me. No. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm glad she got the little bit of pouring water on him.
Yeah, she was upset. And so she says,
and then they make up and they kiss each other. Blah, blah, blah. Another
sound of
ending a kiss. No. That's me just going blah blah blah, but then I said la 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 instead. No, no, that's not how they kissed. Well, maybe. Anyways, we don't know. So bad. Oh, maybe he was like trying to. Anyways, yeah. You did mention that this. So that's the end of the episode.
Of the episode, yes.
Of this episode of the whole series. The episode was aired, as you mentioned, on New Year's Eve in 1951, mm-hmm. and it was the first time there was a preview of the next week's episode, which is The Benefit. So that preview was shown.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't do that a lot for this show. I think they stopped doing that at the end of season one.
Okay.
But the audience, that like audience building type tactic is obviously, I mean, we still see we that still today, that. You know, coming yeah. up for, mm-hmm.
next
you know,
week. Yeah.
next week or whatever. So they, another thing they started.
Pioneered. Yeah. I love mm-hmm. that. So this one, mm-hmm. this one's fun. Thanks guys. And like always, find us on.
Find us everywhere.
Find us everywhere. YouTube and Instagram, Having a Ball Pod, and send us emails. And please, if you have a moment, review. Anywhere.
Write a review, please.
Yes, on we have yeah. Apple Podcasts. I don't think Spotify does it, but I think, yeah, Apple
you
definitely.
Can throw it on a YouTube, even an yeah. Instagram post. Just tell us what you like, what you don't like.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only way we're going to be able to get better, grow.
Yeah. Yeah, so thanks, guys.
So, yeah, and, thank you for we'll sticking with us. Bye-bye.
Bye.